Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And with any luck at all, we have Cynthia Hoswinder on the line. Cynthia, good morning.
Good morning.
And Janet Manco.
Good morning.
Yes.
I like that pause. That was just enough to, just enough to send a little jolt to the old
nerve.
The pause
that did not refresh. The pause that terrified.
I don't ever get terrified anymore.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Nice. You know, there's too many other things to get terrified about.
Right. Is that what's wrong with you?
Yeah. It's like I used to say to my, and he's still alive, and he's a great guy, Mr. Tversky. And we had to run a 600-yard run for the Presidential Fitness Award. And I used to say to him, Mr. Tversky, you know me. I haven't found anything that I'd like to run for, and I haven't found anything that scares me enough to run from. So.
And then you ran for, didn't you once, I believe you once decided you were running the TV station up at Gear, and I walked in and you announced that you were running for public office.
That's a different running. That was totally different.
Oh, I see.
Totally different. All right. Well, let us get to the Lakeville Journal. And by the way, folks, Lakeville Journal not only available at locations for pickup, and it's been narrowed down from COVID-19, but also online, tricornernews.com. Let us go to the front page. And I just finished speaking with Mark Herko from Sharon Hospital. And we talked a little bit about what's going on at the hospital with COVID-19. And, of course, COVID-19 patients have been at the hospital for quite a while now, moving in and out, as a matter of fact. And that is one of the big stories you have up there, Cynthia.
Right. So we have two different stories. And I think that people, the sense I get from things people are saying is that they're confusing Sharon Healthcare Center and Sharon Hospital. So our top story is on Sharon Healthcare Center. Yeah. Off to the right where it says number of new COVID patients levels off. That's our interview with Dr. Mark Herko, who is the president of Sharon Hospital. Sharon Hospital is part of a network of seven hospitals in New York State and Connecticut that's called Nuvance as a group. The part that Sharon Hospital is part of is called HealthQuest. All the other hospitals in that group are in New York State. Sharon is the only Connecticut hospital, but as we know up here, there's a lot of New York State people who come to Sharon Hospital. So we spoke to Dr. Herko last week before deadline, and he's confirming what we're seeing in the numbers and what we have heard from Torrington Area Health District, which is the numbers of testing, the percentage of people of new positive cases is finally starting to decrease. But this coming week is going to be a very difficult week because a lot of the people who were previously diagnosed as positive are going to be reaching crisis points. So the death rate, sadly, will continue to increase. The number of people who are hospitalized will increase. But the future, if we all continue to social distance and use our masks and gloves and use common sense, the numbers should continue at this point to flatten out and begin to reduce. And so now the question that's facing our regional school district and other and local businesses is, at what point do we try to get people back? I know there's a lot of parents who are probably super eager for distance learning to end, but also, of course, want to do the best thing for their children. So we have a lot of numbers and statistics. I know, Marshall, you've been giving statistics every day on the numbers. We have the links to the Dutchess County and the State of Connecticut portals where you can click on and you can check those numbers every day. The governor is recommending that you sign up for their daily alert, which is really useful because the state website is updated daily, so you can't track the progression of the numbers. But when you get the governor's emails, you can save those and you can look back and sort of see, like, oh, you know, yesterday there were 48 deaths, today there are 53 deaths, you know, hoping that tomorrow there will be fewer deaths.
But that's why we like to put the numbers up, because it is a good way for people on a quick basis to check back from post to post to see where the numbers have gone. And we've been very lucky in our northwest corner area. I wouldn't say lucky to everybody because we do have COVID cases. Across the line in New York, though, in towns like Dover, have not been so lucky. A small town like that has almost 40 cases. That's just like unheard of in a small town like that. But we've been lucky here. And South County in Massachusetts has been also a little lucky because Massachusetts, like New York City, the metropolitan areas really have been hit hard. It's, you know, talking with Dr. Herko about this morning, it was, you know, he said people just have to understand that COVID-19 is going to be around for 12 to 18 months at least, you know, with the flu season. So people just have to just hold steady and do what they do. and take it from there. But I'll tell you what, the hospital has done a magnificent job in handling what they've had to handle here.
They've been great. And yeah, for people who have some kind of image of, you know, what you see in the TV news, which is people in, you know, makeshift hospitals and stuff, they actually don't have that many cases there right now, which is fantastic. And the field hospital at the moment is empty, which is great. But our other big story, of course, is Sharon Healthcare Center, which has, you know, I think they have 88 beds, and they're at, you know, when we spoke to them at the beginning of the week, they were hoping to have, not hoping, they were planning, they were anticipating that they were going to have all 88 of those beds would be COVID-positive patients who are recovering. So there's many, many more cases at Sharon Hospital, and they also are doing a really magnificent job. And, you know, we spoke to Sarah Thornton, you know, who, like, I've known since elementary school. You probably have known her, too. Very, you know, local Sharon family. Very proud of her for the work she's doing. And, you know, they're really struggling and not getting a lot of positive feedback from the community. So it would be really great if we could support them.
And what we've tried to say about that feedback is that if you've got any negative comments about lack of transparency, don't take it out on the local people. These are your friends and neighbors that are working hard. Give a call to the company that owns it and say, hey, show your concerns that way, because the folks at Sharon Healthcare are working as hard as they can. Some even working double shifts. So it's
important
not that,
to note that they're getting hazard pay. That they even before the state agreed to give more funding to them, they had already been giving their staff hazard pay.
And remember, they've been dealing with this the longest of anyone in the northwest corner. They had the first case of COVID-19 at Sharon Healthcare Center. So they've really been up against it. And very good quotes from Administrator Soria Thornton in this article talking about her feelings about it and how the staff is doing.
And then you've
also
got
Tim Brown from Athena has been very, very available to us. Dr. Herko also very available from Sharon Hospital. But we've had a very good experience with Sharon Healthcare. And what we're finding is this information is changing so quickly that sometimes when they're not answering your calls, it's because, A, they're super stressed out because there's a pandemic going on, but also because there's a lot of misinformation going out. And as soon as you say something, it gets up on Facebook and people start whipping stuff around. And it very quickly, as you know, becomes a game of operator and stuff gets misinterpreted and incorrect information gets conveyed. So they're doing their best to not give out incorrect information that's tentative, but to wait until something is more or less settled. But even when stuff is settled, it still changes. This is very fluid, and they're just doing their best to respond and trying to keep us all safe.
And what makes it even harder for the folks at Sharon Healthcare, because they're the epicenter for senior centers around here with COVID-19, is that Gear and Noble are right now, as we know it, as far as we know it, are COVID-free.
Right, knock wood. And in this article by Deborah Alexinas, where she talks to Bill Pond from Noble and Kevin O'Connell from Gear, they're both holding their breath and crossing their fingers and very much feeling like they're by the grace of God. They know that they're lucky. They also did the right thing and shut down immediately as soon as they could and kept people off the campus and have been doing a great job of holding steady. Super proud of them. Kevin O'Connell, very worried. I'm sure all of our healthcare centers are. They are not accepting COVID-positive patients because they're trying to protect their existing population. But, of course, there is additional funding from the state. Kevin is looking at hugely elevated costs because they're spending so much money on PPEs and having extra shifts for their staff. So they were very happy, as we were in the process of going to press with this, that Governor Lamont had ordered that there's a 15% additional reimbursement for Medicare patients, which will help them a lot.
All right. What's interesting about that, like, we have operated remotely the local access television station since day one. But when I was speaking with Dr. Herko today and what they did at Sharon Hospital and what Gear and Noble Horizons did just shows the point that if you separate and you social distance, you can control the spread of it, not 100%, but 99.9%. And that's a thing that we try to point out all the time for people, that if you just follow the simple rules of social distancing and wearing a mask, it's amazing how that helps flatten the curve.
And it doesn't mean you won't get it.
No.
It just means that you're you're going to help.
Yeah, that's exactly right, which is what everybody should do. I want to go on to, because you've got the story about the Sharon residents who were concerned about the release of COVID-19 with Sharon Healthcare Center. And we've been trying to explain for weeks that Sharon Hospital, it's been, you know, we've had COVID-19 here for a while. It's not like it's invading this town through Sharon Healthcare Center at all. That's the farthest thing from the truth. So, all right, let's go on to your next story about your epidemiologist.
Dr. Jim Shepherd, who is in Sharon, a very interesting guy, and had retired from being an epidemiologist based in India and started Smokedown Farm in Sharon, where they're growing hops that are being used by many of the local breweries to make beer, and is also a professor at Yale New Haven. Deb Alexina spoke to him. He had done a phone chat with Salisbury School community members, the private boys high school, and Elise Harney had mentioned it to me, and so we tracked down that talk, and we called Dr. Shepherd, who gave a very interesting talk to Deb, and of course, he was a WHO epidemiologist, World Health Organization, and we did this interview right after President Trump had cut, you know, funding from the United States to that organization. So he talked about world health, its pros, its cons. He also talked about the spread of COVID-19, and he said, as you just said, Marshall, we're looking at, you know, 2022, we're still going to be looking at, you know, having a quarantine and still be very, very careful. It's not like in a month when the numbers start to go down, this is going to be over. So a really interesting article. We had to jump this one, I believe, to our website. And as a general rule, we try to give everybody all the stories in print at the moment. The paper is small, and there's a lot of important stuff that we don't want to hold.
All right. Now, you've done something very interesting on page A2, as you've got a story about what the budgets are all about. One big story.
Which people, you know, even people who live here full-time don't really understand how the budgets work, and even we forget how the budgets work. But this is a particularly complex year for it, because the governor has changed a lot of the protocols for how we would normally do budgets in light of the COVID quarantine. But also, we have an enormous number of people who are up here full-time right now who are either part-time residents or have never lived here before. And even if you're a Connecticut resident, New England town hall democracy is different than, say, how you would manage a larger city in the state. So we're trying to explain what all these stories are about. We are essentially a town government newspaper. That is the thing that we are primarily here to present, is information on how our government works. So we're explaining to people, we have all these little stories throughout the next couple of pages on each of the towns moving forward in its budget process, rather than try to explain in every single story all this background. It's right here. Please go read it. And also, we have a new spot on our website called Northwest Corner Essentials, where we explain some of these things about how our towns function. So please do read them.
You know, it's funny, because the past couple of days, we've noticed the same thing here. We've gotten a couple of authors who've been in our area since mid-March that have contacted us, and some other people that have moved into the area that have contacted us as well. So this is, I think real estate is a hot property around here right now.
Literally.
And will be for the next probably 12 months.
We have a story with Elise Harney and Elise Harney Morris next week, in which they say this is the lowest inventory we've seen in 10 years in the Northwest Corner.
All right.
I quickly say car thefts are on the rise?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Like, you know, I know that I always leave my garage open and leave the keys in the car, so not doing that anymore. I had a friend, my friend Dave, has been staying with us. He had his truck outside with the keys in the car. That's no longer happening. We recommend everybody keep your keys in the house. Lock your car doors, lock your garage, because kids are coming in from out of town, apparently, and there's been a lot of car break-ins and car thefts.
And you shouldn't leave your garage door open this time of the year, because bears anyway.
right. And not even leaving it open. Just don't leave it unlocked. And you know what we traditionally find is in spring, there is a lot of break-ins into people's garages, not necessarily to steal your car, but to steal lawn equipment, which a lot of people will then resell to the landscapers.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, and not their fault. They're buying stuff that's been stolen. So definitely keep your garage locked.
All right. I like the story on page A4. As everyone stays home, book sales rise.
Right, which is great. And we always want to support our local independent booksellers. We interviewed Peter Vaughn and Ben Ryback from House of Books in Kent, which is doing weirdly great. And they're sending out these very fun email blasts. And they have a lot of they're talking to local authors and having them do exclusive signings, where instead of authors going on book tour and signing books all over the country at Barnes & Noble, there's actually not that many, you know, opportunities to get a signed book. So they're talking to local authors. They have the new book by Jerry Sauls. We have an article in Compass for next week about an author from Kent, Amy Popel, who wrote a book called Musical Chairs. which is, interestingly, about a chamber music group that is where the principals are holed up at a country house in Kent with all multiple generations of the family. It seems very current. And, of course, the sad news this week that Music Mountain will be canceling its season, but, of course, we understand that. But we're pairing those two stories up in Compass next week. But House of Books doing great. And Oblong, I believe, is also having a higher-than-normal rate of sale. Some of the grocery stores have said the same thing, that their sales have actually been very good at what's normally a fairly dead time. And we want to give a shout-out to all those grocery stores who are doing a phenomenal job when their suppliers are not really able to give them food supplies, of being very scrappy and finding different places. But as Bob Laban has said in the paper, please be understanding, if we can't get your specific type of yogurt, we're doing our best.
And it comes to also, sometimes some items, all of a sudden you'll see a price jump. It's not necessarily because of the local market. It's because of the food chain and where suppliers like to send things cheaper to big, 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 huge market chains. And the smaller markets, the independent ones, don't fare as well on the price chain. So don't take your frustration out on these markets around here because of that.
Especially with eggs. Apparently people have been really complaining that the cost of eggs is going up. And I'll remind people, this is spring. People actually, local people are starting to have eggs available from their own chickens. And that's a great way to support our local farm stands and farm markets, too.
Okay, Patrick Sullivan's story about the meals that go to area students each week.
Right, and so this is from the Region 1 School District. It is, I believe, supported by the USDA, which has given a lot of money for students who can't afford meals. We put the numbers in this article so that you can get a sense of what the school, actually, I'm not sure that that's got in there. Here we go. So there are numbers on the number of students at each of the schools in the next article, Falls Village, hoping to do budgets the old-fashioned way. So you can see what percentage of the schools, you know what, this may have been, you know what, the headlines were switched on this. So I'm apologizing to our readers right now. The headlines are switched on this. Thousands of meals each week go to area students. Should be on the story that says Falls Village hoping to do budgets the old-fashioned way. The numbers of students at each school is on there. I think people who are not from the area will realize schools are pretty small. Not 100% of the students are asking for or accepting these meals. A certain percentage are. There's a lot more families in need around here than people realize. And a lot of local organizations like the White Heart is stepping in to do meals for Falls Village Lee H. Kellogg School students. Lee Kellogg is such a small school, it doesn't have its own kitchen. Same with Cornwall Consolidated School. They don't make meals in their own kitchen. They give out milk. So lots of organizations stepping up to help with that.
All right. I want to go to another page where you see the ringing of the bell at St. Mary's Church.
Right, and somebody emailed me last night and said, those people are not practicing social distancing, and I just want to say it's a father and his two sons.
Well, also, if you look, though, they are standing as far apart from one another as you can
in that,
because if anybody's been there, and I have been in that place, they are standing as far as they can apart from one another.
Right. In a belfry.
Yeah.
People in a belfry.
And you know what? They all have masks on, so.
And they live together.
All right.
There needs to be a little bit of, you know, hey.
A little common sense. Yeah.
I think the funny story that it's not funny, but it is funny, is the story on golf, because Connecticut's allowing golf. In New York, they allowed golf, then they took it off the table, then they put it back on the table.
Right, and then in Massachusetts, they're not doing it. So John Turtiel, who had written this, and he's had to keep updating the story. We were still updating it as we were going to press, because just before we went to press, New York State said, okay, you can play golf. So in Connecticut, here at Canaan Country Club, they're playing golf. The Hotchkiss School Golf Club golf course in Lakeville is hoping to open May 1st. I don't know about Sharon Country Club, but, of course, that's members only. But it is theoretically possible to go golfing. Only one person per cart, I believe. Don't be hanging out in the pro shop, but call before you go.
And also, you can't put the ball in the hole because you would lean in to pick up. Most golf courses that are open are putting covers in there, so if you hit the stick, you count it as going in the hole. It's going to raise hell with people that want to get holes in one, but that's just,
yeah, it's very interesting, actually. John Torsiello lists these restrictions, and they're very creative as far as, you know, this is why they're able to open them.
That's exactly right. And you've got a story, Cynthia, that you wrote, Memories of Another Plague in Another Quarantine.
Yes, I talked to Garth Cobalt, and actually we had been holding this story again because the paper's been small. We've been we've been trying not to hold stuff, but this is such an interesting story. Garth Kobel was, and I think he's still the president of the D.M. Hunt Library here in Falls Village. Very interesting guy. Works at a bookseller in the area. And he and his partner were one of the first same-sex marriages in Litchfield County. And very, you know, very open about his lifestyle and choices, and had lived in New York during the AIDS epidemic. And there are similarities in the sense that people are very scared about it. You know, it's fatal in many cases. There's had to be changes in people's lifestyles. And so I interviewed him about that. And actually, he was the person that had led us to interview Dr. Christy Schmidt in Millerton, because he was talking about Anthony Fauci and what a hero he was to him during the AIDS crisis, who's also been such a hero to so many people during the COVID-19 crisis. So we had done those two interviews with Christy Schmidt about being a young doctor in New York City at the beginning of the AIDS-HIV crisis. Garth talks about being, you know, a young gay man in New York City. And one thing he says that I've heard a lot is, you know, one thing during the AIDS crisis is we could still hug each other when somebody was sick or really needed some emotional support. We could hug, and he said that's one thing that we're missing right now, and that's been really hard for people. And you know, I was on a birthday Zoom with somebody the other day, and he said, "I just can't wait to hug you again."
All right,
a lot of us feel that way.
I want to go to the editorial page. Before we go there, though, I always like to bring back a refreshing old headline from 100 years ago. This is out of Salisbury. The buildings on the Willard Farm have been greatly improved with a new dress of paint. So,
yeah, you can just picture that, can't you? However that farm looked after that paint 100 years ago. I wish we had the photo, but that the words say it all.
Especially dress of paint. I like that.
Yeah.
It's not a coat. All right, the editorial. And this is, I was shocked when I heard this, because the loss of a longtime friend of the newspaper, but not only the newspaper, so many people in the area, and
across the planet. Tony Peel had a wide-reaching influence and was just an amazing man, and we were so privileged to have him as part of our pages for the past 20 years. So this is a tribute to him. He had deep knowledge of so many different topics, and we were always glad to have his opinion. And I'll say that there may have been readers who disagreed with his side. He was, of course, opinionated. He wrote opinion for us. And I would hope that they would admit, however, that his background and his knowledge gave him credence in what he wrote and how he thought. And we just, you know, will greatly miss him. And our thoughts are with his wife, Liz Peel. People in Sharon, very familiar with both of them. And we'll keep his family in mind during this time of their loss. And we will miss him.
You know, we appreciate, I think people, especially when people like this are gone, that who can post their opinions and people can reply to their opinions, and there is no tit for tat, because they respect the people that respond to their opinions, and the way their own opinions were written, people respect. So we've had lots of great people that have done that in this area, and Tony was one of those that could, he could do it, and he wouldn't get insulted if you didn't agree with him.
That's right, exactly right. He understood that completely, that, you know, everybody wasn't going to agree, and that's part of discourse, and that's what makes life interesting.
Okay, part two of the support for healthcare workers, especially the Sharon Healthcare Center.
Yes, here we talk about thanks for all medical caregivers, but especially those who are working under Administrator Soria Thornton at Sharon Healthcare Center. What a difficult time they've been through from the beginning of this pandemic. And they have just worked so hard to be able to serve their residents and their patients and do the best they can and learn how to do it so that they can maintain taking care of these patients. To become a recovery center, they really need to know what they're doing. And so we just hope that everyone will reach out in solidarity and give them support.
All right, and there's we're running out of time. So it's lots of letters, and of course a great cartoon. But I want to go before we leave. We've got one
Any
minute
columns?
Left.
We have a viewpoint page. Yeah. I have to say this week, which we haven't had in a while.
Let's get into got 1 minute, Cynthia, for of course a compass.
And again, we have a photo of two people who are near each other in the photo with their gloves and masks on. A reminder: they work together every day. We need to keep doing social distancing, even with our gloves and masks. But so I talked to. I think every woman I know has, in the last 2 weeks, said to me, well, I got my hair color kit. I guess I'm going to color my hair. And, I keep watching TV news and thinking, how are they doing their hair and their makeup? They're doing a great job. So I talked to Janice Hilton, who's hilariously funny, and Bonnie Hunt from Hilton Hunt Salon in Millerton. And they had put together their own color kits for their own clients so that you can actually get a kit to color your hair at home. And I said, well, what advice do you have? And they said, just don't touch it. It's better, even if we're going to be a month more in quarantine, your hair is going to grow out. Just try styling it differently. Use gels. But they said if you must color your hair or cut it, here are some tips on how to do it. And also they've said if you have a colorist, even if you're not one of their clients, have your colorist contact them. Give them the formula. They'll translate it to their products, and they can create a DIY hair color kit for you if you don't have an over-the-counter product. But it's a very funny story and very informative for all men and women.
Well, we are out of time right now, but once again, certain locations in every town you can get the journal, but of course, tricornernews.com on the web. And we'll speak to you guys next week.
And look for Tricorner Real Estate if you're looking for a house. They're listed in there. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Right. Take care, guys. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. And you can find it online at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand This Week in the Lakeville Journal.